In the name of Jesus. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to, take a look at the collect of the day, again found on your bulletin insert. Notice what we, together as the Church of God in this place, and indeed churches all around the world, pray. Almighty and everlasting God, mercifully look upon our infirmities and stretch forth the hand of your majesty to heal and defend us. Of course, we ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. But let's consider this collect. Do you see yourself as having infirmities? Now, when we hear that word infirmity, we tend to think of something wrong with our bodies, you know, various ills and complaints we may have. We all have those aches and pains, some more, some less, but as we get older, the aches and pains seem to accumulate. But there are other infirmities as well. There are infirmities of the mind, infirmities of the emotion, infirmities of the soul, where we are weak in our faith, or we may have turned away from Christ our Savior and His saving grace. We beseech the Lord to stretch forth the hand of His majesty to heal our infirmities, be they of body, soul, mind, or emotions, and also to defend us. To defend us from the world, the flesh, and the devil. To defend us from the devil's cunning ways, his lies, his deception. To defend us safely and securely within Christ's church, where the word of the gospel is proclaimed, where sinners are released from their sins, and where our Lord Jesus Christ is present in the Word and in the sacraments, especially today, to give us His true body and His blood, to release us, to forgive us of our sins. It's the beginning, toward the beginning of Jesus' ministry. He has been baptized. He spent 40 days in the wilderness being tempted by the devil and overcame each and every one of those temptations, no matter how small, no matter how great. He stayed true to the Word of God. He was the obedient Son of God for you and me. He began proclaiming the gospel, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." He had cast out demons. He had cleansed lepers. He had healed the sick. Many miracles he had done. And by the time he got to Nazareth, his hometown, word of those miracles, word of the things he had preached and taught, had reached the people of his hometown. It was the Sabbath day, and as was his custom, Luke tells us, Jesus went to the synagogue. He who is God incarnate, the giver of the Word, indeed the Word made flesh, did not see being in the synagogue, on the Sabbath, as something optional, something he did not need. No, as true man, he lived by every word that came from the mouth of the Lord God. So there he is in the synagogue in Nazareth. He's a hometown boy. He's visiting after being away for who knows how many months. So when it was time to read from the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, it was given to him. Jesus read the lesson from Isaiah. He unrolled the scroll and he found the place where this is written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me, I'm going to correct the translation here, he has sent me to release the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to release those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And then he rolled up the scroll, he gave it to the attendant, and he sat down. And what he said was simply amazing. I think what he said at first flew over the head of those in attendance at the synagogue that day. All eyes in the synagogue are fixed upon him. Maybe some of those eyes belong to people who are cynical. Wonder what Jesus has to say. Maybe some are eager to hear what he has to say because it was the custom at that time after the reading from the scriptures that the reader expound upon the scriptures, that he preach a sermon, a homily of one sort or another. As I said, what Jesus spoke next was really amazing. And in it, he made a great claim for himself. We're in the Epiphany season, where we focus upon the ways in which Jesus was revealed as God's Son, as the Savior of the world. And once again, we have that revelation in Jesus' first words after reading from the prophet Isaiah. Today, this scripture I just read has been fulfilled in your hearing. Today, what was written some 6 centuries ago by the prophet Isaiah has finally come to pass. And you were present to hear it. You were present to see it come to pass. Did you get what Jesus is saying here? Did you catch it? Did you notice it? He is saying that he is the fulfillment of what the scriptures that we call the Old Testament. He is saying that these scriptures pointed to him and the saving work that he would accomplish to release his people from their sins, to bring them free forgiveness and salvation. We have the same thing at the end of the Gospel of Luke on the road to Emmaus, where Jesus meets 2 disciples. It is the evening of the day of resurrection. They don't recognize Jesus. They're walking along in sorrow. Jesus says, ask them what they're troubled about, what they're talking about. And they say, are you the only one in Jerusalem who hasn't heard of the things that happened? How Jesus Christ, a man mighty in works, in deeds, in word, was crucified and buried. And now some women from our company are saying that he is risen from the dead. Jesus says to them, with a rebuke, a gentle rebuke, but a rebuke nonetheless, oh, you foolish and slow of heart to believe. Didn't you know that these things had to be fulfilled? That Christ had to die and be raised from the dead? And then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, He explained in the scriptures all things concerning himself. Again, that's why the scriptures are given. That is why each one of you, no matter how old, no matter how young, should be attentive to the Word of God. Now, remember, the Holy Spirit works through the Word, and the Holy Spirit accomplishes God's saving purposes through the Word. Even when Becky was 2 weeks old, God's Spirit worked faith in her. She was baptized. God's Spirit works through the Word for all, for everybody, to bring them to faith in Christ. For it's through the Spirit and the Word of God that all must believe. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ. We could say that today this scripture that Jesus read has been fulfilled in your hearing too. Not by me, but by Jesus, the one Isaiah the prophet spoke of. The Spirit of the Lord was upon him because the Lord anointed him to proclaim good news to the poor, to preach the gospel to the poor in spirit. And that word poor means poverty stricken. Picture a cringing beggar, filthy, dirty, living on the streets, maybe stuffing his ragged clothes full of newspapers to try to hold back the cold during the winter nights. That's the image of the poor that Jesus proclaims the good news to. Not those who are proud in spirit, not those who are arrogant, not those who think they have everything they need. And who needs Jesus? Who needs his gospel? Blessed are you if you are poverty stricken in Jesus. Because guess what? In Jesus, yours is the kingdom of heaven. At first, all spoke well of Jesus. They marveled at the gracious words that were coming from his mouth, but then maybe they reflected upon those words some more, scratched their heads, and wait a minute, did he say what I thought he said? They asked, isn't this Joseph's son? How can he make these claims about himself? Now, Jesus knows what is in the hearts of human beings. He apparently knows what's going on there among some of the people. And he says to them, and it seems like he's trying to push their buttons. And you could say he is, because he's preaching the law to them. And the purpose of the law is to bring people to repentance and faith. He said to them, doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, physician, heal yourself. Don't worry about us. We can take care of ourselves. You worry about yourself, physician. And going on, what we heard you did at Capernaum, do here in your hometown as well, with the implication, do works, do mighty wonders here, and then we will believe in you. And Jesus said, truly I say to you, no prophet is acceptable in his hometown. Familiarity breeds contempt. We do know that Jesus' half-brothers and sisters did not believe in him as the Christ, as the Son of the living God, until after his resurrection. In fact, they thought he was crazy. They wanted to drag him home in chains, lock him up. He was called demon-possessed by the Pharisees and the scribes. But he who was unacceptable in his hometown is, I pray, very acceptable here. After all, we wear his name, Christian. We have been baptized into his death and resurrection. We have had our ears opened by the Spirit of God to hear his holy word. And thanks be to God for that, because Christ has the words of eternal life. Jesus pushes the button again. In truth, I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, many Hebrew widows, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months and a great famine came over all the land. And Elijah was sent to none of these Hebrew widows, but only to Zarephath in the land of Sidon, to a non-Jew, to a pagan, to a Gentile, to one of the goyim, unclean, unclean. And, Jesus goes on to say, there were many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed, but only Naaman, the Syrian, the non-Hebrew, the Gentile, the goyim, unclean, unclean. By implication, Jesus is saying here, what counts is faith. It doesn't matter if you are a Hebrew of Hebrews, as Paul described himself. What counts is faith in me. Not in me, but in Jesus. When they heard these things, all in the synagogue were filled with wrath, or with rage, with the most fiery kind of indignation imaginable. And they rose up against Jesus. They drove him out of the town and brought him to the brow of the hill on which Nazareth was built, so they could throw him down the cliff and possibly stone him. But he passed through their midst. He went away because his hour had not yet come, the hour of his betrayal, of his arrest, of his trial, of his sufferings, of his death on the cross, the hour of his atoning for the sins of the world to release you and me and all who believe from the penalty of our sins. His hour had not yet come, and that hour was the hour appointed for Jesus from even before the foundation of the world. Just because we're Lutheran doesn't mean we're saved. I think Lutheran doctrine is wonderful. I think it's the clearest exposition of the teachings of Scripture, of law and gospel that there is. But we can wear the name of Lutheran and that won't save us, just as you could be a Jew and still despise and reject the Son of God. What Jesus is doing here is saying that he came for all people, not just for the Jews, but for the Gentiles. And looking around here, I see a whole lot of Gentiles. Gentiles who have been received into God's kingdom by his grace and mercy in Christ. I was thinking, how could I make plain the way that the people of Nazareth felt when Jesus, by implication, was saying, hey, you don't believe, but there are others who will believe. How many of you have heard of Jeffrey Dahmer? Remember him? Yeah, Milwaukee, wasn't it? young man, and he was a homosexual. He killed and dismembered at least 17 boys and men. He cut them up. He stored parts of them in the refrigerator. When the police came into his apartment, there were human body parts in pots on the stove that were being cooked. How evil! How disgusting! Surely the spirit of Satan worked in him. But you know what? This is the truth. He was convicted, sent to prison, and in prison, he became a Christian. He recognized his sins. He repented and turned to faith in Jesus Christ, and then sometime later, he was beat up and killed in a prison bathroom. He's one of the saints in the church triumphant. Now, imagine yourself seated at the great wedding banquet of the Lamb, and Jeffrey Dahmer is seated at your right hand at the banquet. And David Berkowitz, son of Sam, also, because he repented and became a Christian, he's seated at your left hand. Would you feel uncomfortable? Would you say, what business do they have doing here? Well, you wouldn't. No, you would rejoice in their salvation, just as you would rejoice in your salvation. The gospel of Christ is for everyone. All are called to repent and believe the gospel. So, when a notorious sinner repents, rejoice, be glad, for Christ has saved another one. Anyway, I've gone on long enough. Let's just say that in the preaching of the gospel, Christ's word, the Holy Scriptures, are fulfilled in your hearing. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, your Savior. Amen.